From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
The Dynamic Disc Glass Blown Open turns 16 this week, and tournament organizers are throwing a party and inviting about 1,600 of their closest friends. This week to Emporia, Kansas, that's where we're going to spend most of our show today on PDGA Radio. I'm Steve Hill. I'm joined by Sarah Lamerson. Sarah, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. It's very rainy. We're getting two straight days of rain. It doesn't look like it's letting up anytime soon today, so having a nice, relaxed day indoors. How about you?
I'm doing great. It's sunny here. Please keep the rain there and out of Emporia so that we can have a nice weekend out in Kansas. We will get to that today on the show. But before we get into that, want to express our condolences on behalf of the PDGA to the family and friends of Matt Mayo, PDGA player out on tour a lot. He sadly died after a car accident over the weekend. A lot of outpouring on social media for Matt and his family. Nothing but good things. Just seemed to be a positive spirit, you know, always radiating energy. And we're very sad for his loss and for his family and for the entire Dallas-Fort Worth community. So our thoughts are with everyone out there, including everyone else who was involved with the accident. Very scary, and hoping for the best for everyone else. The PDGA National Tour kicks back up for its first event since Las Vegas this week out in Emporia, Kansas. And we've got the Dynamic Disc Glass Blown Open. Sarah, I don't know about you. I know you're not going to be at the event yourself, but I'm super pumped for this one, as we should be. It's an NT. Dynamic Disc always brings it with this event, and it's huge. It is officially setting the record for largest disc golf event in history in terms of participants. If you combine the NT and the AM side, more than 1,600 people coming into this tiny little town of 24,000. It's going to be great. How are you feeling about the GBO this week?
I am very jealous that you're going to be there and all the other competitors, especially because I was in Emporia in 2016 for Worlds there, so I'm familiar with several of these courses. So I'm definitely going to be watching the live coverage, but it's going to be very hard for me to watch all this stuff on social media and not be there myself. But so I was looking up some of the event schedule on PDGA and noticed that the event has already kicked off. This past Saturday, they started Flex Start C tiers, and there's at least one event every day this week at a different course, running until the 27th. Yeah. That's a pretty cool way to just play a competitive round, get familiar with the course. As you said, there's a ton of AM players coming in from out of town, so I think that's really cool. I think a lot of people are coming in, probably spending a week or so there, so it just gives another little option for a competitive round.
Yeah, I feel like this is like disc golf's version of Coachella, if you will. It's not just the disc golf tournament. It's a huge, like, week-long festival. You've got people coming from all over the place, and honestly, like, if you were to tell people you're going to Kansas for your vacation, they might look at you a little funny sometimes. No offense to Emporia or anything. But this town brings it. They absolutely roll out the red carpet for disc golfers. I was also there in 2016 for Worlds. I've never been there for the GBO, and I can't wait because it's going to be... I don't remember how many people were there for Worlds, but it certainly wasn't 1,600. But, you know, you walk around to every restaurant, every shop, every storefront has signs welcoming disc golfers. They are disc golf crazy in that town. And it's just such a cool experience. It's completely unlike any other event that we have on the calendar. I mean, you look at the schedule, like you were saying, you've got... In addition to just the tournament play at quality courses, they've got 9 courses for this whole event, and we'll break down the MPO and FPO. They take up 4 of those courses. But, I mean, you've got, like, a poker party and a block party and, you know, mechanical bull riding one night and all kinds of other – yeah, why not? All kinds of other things that really you start to understand. Like, people make this their vacation. It's an absolute disc golf destination. And the team at Dynamic Disc just has it locked down from top to bottom. And that's even before you get into the NT starting on Thursday. So it's a really great event, and I'm super pumped to get out there and see it all firsthand because I just think it's going to be wild. You know, you talked about all the people coming and everything like that. I talked to the director of the Convention Visitors Bureau. Her name's Susan Rathke. And she estimates that the economic impact to Emporia throughout the week is at least $1 million. And depending on who you ask and what kind of calculations you make, if you factor in, you know, staff time and things like that, you're probably looking at closer to $2 million.
That's amazing.
I don't know if any other disc golf event has that kind of impact on one
city. I would say not. And consistently. I mean, this is happening every year, and their numbers are just growing exponentially. And on that note, real quick, I know I said last week that that Bowling Green Amateur Championships was the largest amateur event. And I quickly noticed after doing some research for GBO that it is not. This event blows it out of the water. Not to say that Bowling Green AMS is not a huge...
It's well-established.
Disc golf mecca. It is, yeah. Been around for years, but just wanted to make that slight correction in case we get any emails to the PDGA radio account.
We appreciate that. Strong fact checking. We like to make things right here at PDGA Radio.
That's true.
You know, the other cool part is they do, like, juniors events at this thing. Big, and which is really a nice precursor because Emporia is also hosting Junior Worlds for the next 3 or 4 years. And yeah, it's just, it's this almost like little disc golf mecca in the middle of nowhere in the Midwest. I mean, you got to drive 2 hours from the airport in Kansas City, or like if you want to fly into Wichita, I think it's an hour and a half. It's pretty much like it's in the middle of nowhere, but it's a great little nowhere. And, you know, the fact that they have so many people coming, I think is just a testament to what Dynamic Discs has built there. But I was floored by the numbers, that like $1 million impact. I couldn't believe it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, what we also need to remember is that hopefully we get a full 3-round event this year, because last year was one of the couple events that got cut short. They had thunderstorms the final day, didn't even get to play at the Emporia Country Club. And so we have, you know, we have a little bit of catch up to do from last year. You had Paul McBeth winning it in the shortened version, and then you actually had a tie in the women's division between Paige Pierce and Hannah Leatherman, which it's not very often we're talking about ties. So hopefully we're going to get all 3 rounds in this year. The weather, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx it, but looks to be pretty solid so far. I just got off the phone with AJ Risley, who's out there already. He said the weather's great, so let's hope it stays that way. So on that note, Sarah, I know you've been looking at the FPO field and the FPO courses. A little bit of a difference between the two fields for the event this year. You have the MPO is just playing one course, the Emporia Country Club. FPO has a different course each day. So let's get into that first. Tell me what you know on the FPO side.
So FPO, actually, so all of the women for the entire event are all playing the same course each day. They're only 37 FPO women, and then the age-protected and amateur fields take up the rest of that field, and they'll be playing the same courses. So round one, they're playing Cottonwood Falls. It's a par 58, 6,100 feet long. It's only 4 par 4s, but some of the top players could easily birdie them. I think the longest hole is like a little bit over 480 feet, and we both know that that's right in Paige's wheelhouse.
Don't forget, there's more than one Paige this week.
Paige
Bierkus is also there. We're actually, nice segue, sorry to interrupt you, but we're going to have her on the show in a little bit. So, two Paiges to contend with.
Two Paiges who can bomb.
Exactly.
and, you know, these are some of her home courses, so I'm sure she'll be schooling some people on some of these holes.
Oh, definitely. But,
yeah. So this course requires a variety of shots. I was looking at the map and I was like, oh my gosh, there's so much OB. And I'm not sure if it was just the color coding on the map that kind of drew my eye into all the OB, but there is a lot of OB. There's on this particular course, there's baseball fields, there's roads, and there's a creek, and holes 5 through 9 actually play along and across the creek with several tricky greens. So lots of OB to contend with on that course. And then hole 14 is a pyramid hole that's kind of built up on different levels of 2x4s, I believe, or railroad ties. And if it's windy, you could see some pretty high numbers on that hole.
Right.
So we shall see about that one. That's one of the courses that I have not played. The other two courses I have played. So round two, FPO and the other women will play Jones East. It is a par 59, 7,500 feet, a little bit longer. So Jones East and Jones West back up to each other, and Jones East is the longer of the two. There's a couple of ponds to one you have to throw over. It's not a super long hole. And the other, you can kind of make a little chip shot over to the left to not put the creek in play as much. But it's a pretty challenging hole. There are also roads. Yep. If you look at the map, there's a huge OB section, and that shows where all the long grass is on some of the middle nine holes. And so there's a lot of roped off grass there. One of the holes that I can remember the best is hole 7. Do you remember this hole? It's pretty difficult, blind.
Let me think.
Go ahead.
I'm wondering if I'm getting it confused. There's a couple in that 6-7 area that I always kind of get confused with. Like, if there is this one kind of like a peninsula one, or am I thinking of it, or is that hole 6?
So hole 7, you're throwing toward the Jones West course.
Okay.
And the basket sits along the road, but it's in a little like thick tree area.
Okay.
And there's long grass like all around you, and it's blind. And it's an island hole, and it's very difficult, par 4. So that's one of those holes that
blind island hole. That sounds very difficult.
Well, this is where you just need to practice the course and know your placements. I think I just threw like a mid-range off. Well, no, I think I threw a sidewinder off the tee and then a mid-range as my placement shot, because I knew that I couldn't go for the green on my second shot. And then from there, you go for the green, but you still have to contend with a few trees around the basket and then hope that it filters down and you can just drop in for your 4. That's best case scenario. But that's one of the most challenging holes, I'd say. And then hole 12 is one of the holes that you throw over a pond, and it's not a very long hole, but it's also a built up basket area.
Right, right.
And I've seen some pretty big numbers on this hole as well, just people not wanting to lay up and just drop in for their putt and just going forward and just going back and forth and back and forth. So sometimes you just got to know when to lay up and just.
It's hard to swallow your pride sometimes.
I know. So Jones East, I'm really excited to watch the footage from that course, just because I'm a little bit more familiar with over there. And then round 3, they round out the event at Peter Pan. It's a par 57, about 6,500 feet. I think it's a really beautiful park. On the back side of the park, there's a lake and the trees are very beautiful. There's this rock patio kind of area that you throw around. That's pretty cool. And there's still a fair amount of OB over there as well. There's some water, roads, there's some baseball field that you throw either around or over on hole 1. And hole 12 has a peninsula type hole, which is pretty interesting for your approach shot. But yeah, I think there's a lot of OB on the, I feel like I've just been talking about OB this entire time.
Well, I mean, you could say the same thing at the on the MPO side too. I mean,
yeah.
I should count up the number of times it says OB on the map, and it's a lot. But that's kind of what you have to do on some of these pro level courses, just to up the challenge. So that doesn't surprise me. Sure. Now the one question I have for you, what is your take on 3 separate courses for the women? Like when I look at it, I think, man, that's a lot to go in there and practice. But then on the other hand, most of the women probably already know Jones East and Peter Pan if they've been playing there the last few years. So what's your take on a different course each day as a player?
Well, I'm coming from the perspective as a weekend warrior, and the fact that if I'm coming in to play an event and I've never played the courses before and I can only take Friday off of work, I'm definitely not going to, I may be able to get to one course to practice on Thursday evening, but I'm definitely not going to get to play 2 or 3 courses. So I think as far as just preparing to play the courses, I think it's more manageable to just play one course and kind of get it under your belt. Maybe you'd have time to play it two or three times.
Right.
And make some notes, you know, really prepare for that one course. Three courses, I think it's a lot more challenging. And I think, you know, there's only 37 FPO women signed up. They had to group them in with another division. They couldn't just play one course the entire time. But yeah, I respect and think that the Dynamic Discs guys all know what they're doing. And I know that there was reasons for the way that they had to manage which divisions played at which courses. But personally, I probably would only like to play one or two courses in this kind of big NT arena.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. And I think, like you said, I think there is some rationale behind it in that I know with the women being, you know, all grouped together, you know, maybe you make some considerations for the other women's divisions. You've got 9 courses that you're working through at this event between the AMs and the pros. So there was, I'm sure that was part of the calculus. You know, the one benefit that I think that comes from this is with having the pro women playing with the age protected, you know, and lower women's divisions, is what they've been able to do is they're laying the pro women tee off later, which is a nice little change of pace, I think, for them compared to the usual, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning tee off. And with that, what I know I talked to Doug Bierkus, the TD, and his hope is, and he comes from running the Rocky Mountain Women's Disc Golf Championship a few years back. Mm-hmm. His hope is that if all the women are playing at the same course and you put the pro women later, they're hoping that a lot of those lower division age protected women will hang out and provide a larger gallery for the pro women later in the day.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's why. That's why you have that going on. I think that's a great idea. I really hope it pays off. You know, and I think, like, going with 3 different courses is tricky. I mean, I was talking to Katrina Allen this morning, and she even said it was a little tricky. But,
yeah,
I mean, it just depends. I think for some players it's going to be harder than others. I think you have players who are more established at this event, someone like Katrina or Paige Pierce or Jennifer Allen or someone who's been coming to this event for a while. It's going to be a little easier. Younger players, or players who aren't out on the road as much, maybe someone like Kona Panis, or, you know, I saw Nicole Bradley's on the list, Zoe Andike, maybe some players who aren't out there on the road as often, it's going to be a little more of a challenge. So hopefully those players have been able to get into town early enough to practice everything. I have heard nothing but good things about the Cottonwood Falls course. I've had a couple people mention that it may be one of the best women's courses on tour. I don't know. I'm not sure specifically why. I'm not sure if it's hole design or length or combination of everything, but I am looking forward to seeing how that one plays out. So
yeah, I will say,
go ahead.
Sorry, I cut you off. I was going to say one more thing about just playing the same course. You may or may not have experienced this. Have you played a lot of tournaments?
We haven't really talked about this. Not too many.
Okay. Well, I won't judge you too hard, but I feel like when you play, I've played events where you're playing a different course every round for 4 rounds. And sometimes you just want some retribution on a course. Like you play it really badly, or you play a particular hole really badly. And you're like, man, I'm going to get that next round. And that kind of excites you, and you know what you need to fix and that kind of thing. So when you play just one course one time, then move on to another course, you don't get to correct your mistakes or challenge yourself.
Yeah, you're kind of left chomping at the bit something for the better. Whole year.
Yeah.
Until the next go around. Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Yeah.
A little more motivation to get it the first time, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the hard
sure.
part. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see the difference between that and then the men, like we talked about. Let's move over. Well, I don't know. I think we'll talk a little more about the actual composition of the fields when we do our picks. So let's move over to the MPO side. And like we mentioned, they are going to just be playing at the Emporia Country Club. It's pretty much the premier course in Emporia. It's on a golf course, as the name implies. You know, if you've watched the GB over the last few years, you know this course, or if you watch Worlds, you know this course. But they did make some pretty significant changes. They've changed hole one, the location of it entirely. You know, it used to kind of tee off from that deck near the clubhouse. It actually moved over toward the side of the parking lot where, like, hole 6 used to be. That's hole number 1 now, and they stretched out to, 1,135 feet. It's a par five to start the day. You've got OB on the row out on the right. Yeah, it's a that one will get your blood pumping, I feel like. 1,135 feet right out of the gates. And then, so what they've kind of done is that changed up the flow of the course a little bit. The whole front nine ends up kind of being on the east side of the course, and then, you know, west side is going to have the back nine, which is similar to how it was before. It's more that it kind of moved from the middle and around beforehand. So I was looking at the map, and I was trying to go back and forth with a map from last year, and I was like, ah. So I finally just called up our boy AJ, because he's the nicest guy on the planet and doesn't mind if I bug him. So shout out to AJ Risley, who's already out in Emporia. Thank you for giving us the lowdown. Basically, he said really the spirit of the course hasn't changed very much. It plays very similarly. It's just the flow is a little different. There's hole 12 is brand new. He said there's a couple basket placements that are different. You know, they lengthened up a couple holes. It only adds 430 feet over the last year. So it lengthens it out. It gets it over 10,000 feet, but it's not a hugely significant difference. And you still have those signature holes, like hole 16, the island hole, 18 going over the water and everything. There's still those shots in there. So I think it was more of a flow issue that they decided to change things with. And they seem like solid changes. I don't think there's going to be any issue there, but it will. If I recall correctly from being there a couple years ago, and the wind might be different this time of the year, but starting out on hole one over along the road there, you've got to deal with some pretty good wind. It's pretty unprotected over there. It's pretty exposed is the word I'm looking for. So that's going to be interesting to see how that starts people off and maybe impacts their mental game over the whole course of the round. If, you know, let's say you start off the round with an OB versus getting an OB there on hole six when you already had a chance to get warmed up. I'm wondering what kind of like mental gymnastics people will play on that one. So that'll be interesting for me to see. And I think, you know, having all three rounds there, I'll be the first to admit when I heard that they were doing all three rounds there, I was a little disappointed because I like Jones East. Jones East has given us a ton of highlights over the last couple seasons. Like Eagles galore. You had Simon with his ridiculous like 700-foot eagle last year. You know, I remember Worlds a couple years back. You had Macbeth eagling a bunch. So taking that out of the mix is a little bit of a bummer, but I don't, like you said before, I don't doubt any of the dynamic disc people because they're so well experienced with this event. I mean, they bring in a whole team. Like, I was looking down the caddy book, and like they have nine courses. Each course has a different tournament director. And like, I look at the country club tournament director is Ryan Draper, who ran the Waco Annual Charity Open. Like, it's not like they're just getting inexperienced people or people who aren't there before. You know, I mean, Dustin Leatherman is Jones East. You've got Matt Lloyd, who is just the assistant TD for the Vintage Open. So, I mean, you've got strong staff. You know, everyone has it pretty well organized there. So I hesitate to question anything they're doing. I know that probably sounds way too like much like towing the company line, but they haven't really steered us wrong yet. And until they do, I'm inclined to give them the benefit of the doubt that they can do whatever the heck they want with putting these courses and having the players play, you know, one round here or three rounds there. I defer to their judgment. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We should talk about what's going on with the media coverage this week, and then I think we'll take a break and talk to Paige Bierkus. So this is the first NT this year where we are going to have live coverage. So Smashbox will be doing live. I don't know if it's also going to be simulcast on the Dynamic Disc channel on YouTube. It wouldn't surprise me because they have about 25,000 subscribers, which I think might be more than Smashbox or right around there. So the more people that are going to see the event, the better. But you're going to have live coverage of the men from the country club. And the current plan, as of this morning when I talked to Terry and Johnny from Smashbox, is they're going to have a live camera over at whatever women's course they're at, too. Now, and they can kick over to that when they want to. The tricky part is they're a little concerned about signal at Cottonwood Falls the first day, so there may not be as much women's coverage the first day, but You will still be able to see that women's coverage in post-production because Central Coast Disc Golf will be there doing women's feature and lead card every day. In addition to the men's lead card live production on Smashbox, you will also have MPO lead for Jomez, and Central Coast will have MPO chase. So you've got three cards in post-production plus the live coverage. It's pretty much rolling out the whole media smorgasbord this week. And I think they're also going to try and do booth commentary again. So,
oh, awesome.
Yeah, another improvement to that. I think that one's going to be with Terry and Robert McCall. They're awesome on commentary together. It's going to be a lot of fun. So it's going to be a great production. If the weather holds up, I have every confidence that it's going to be an awesome event. And we'll also have UDisc live scoring, plus our PDGA social media channels, and all that good stuff. So, Sarah, you will be able to keep track of everything you want to from home.
Thank gosh.
I know. So, with that in mind, let's take a short break. We're going to bring in Paige Bierkes and chat with her about what it's like kind of to be in Emporia this week, because that part of it fascinates me. And then we'll come back, and Sarah and I will make our picks. So we'll be back here on PDGA Radio in just a moment. Welcome back to PDGA Radio, and joining us now is basically Emporia local. Now you've lived there for a while, Paige Bierkes. Paige, thanks for coming on and joining the show today. How are you?
Awesome, no problem. I am doing fantastic, actually. GBO week is upon us, and it's always super exciting and super fun and so much going on. So I absolutely love it, and it's awesome.
Well, good. I'm glad that you are pumped. I'm excited too, and that's where I wanted to start with this interview is, you know, for people listening to this show and people who even haven't been to Emporia, can you kind of describe the transformation that the town goes under during GBO week with so many people coming in?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the first really cool thing that happens is all the businesses put up signs that say, welcome disc golfers, or welcome GBO, you know, throwers, or all that jazz. So that's really cool, but I mean, there's just so many people that come into town. The TD was telling me the statistic that for every 10 people that live in Emporia, there is a disc golfer coming into town. So
Wow. It's
definitely more packed. But, you know, we shut down Commercial Street for the block party. A bunch of local businesses give discounts to disc golfers. Tons of volunteers around the community that maybe haven't even played disc golf love GBO. So they go out and watch. They go out and volunteer. They'll stop by the shop. So it's crazy. What GBO brings to Emporia is something that, you know, Emporia isn't used to. You know, it's put Emporia on the map, and they're so appreciative. So they show us that appreciation by including, you know, the city as much as they can into the tournament.
That's great. And now I know you have a little bit of inside information that your dad, Doug, is the TD.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. For people who aren't listening or who didn't know who are listening, I wanted to clarify that. That way you didn't have to, like, change what you're gonna say or anything. So
right,
I mean,
yeah.
it's amazing that this small town has become this disc golf destination. I mean, and how is it, you know, how long have you lived in Emporia now? It's been a few years, right?
Yes. So August of 2015 is when I moved. So almost 3 years, just about okay. 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm sure you played GBO quite a few times before that, but I mean, how much has it evolved just in the short time that you've been there now?
The number of players has risen drastically. And with my dad taking on the TD role, he has brought so many new ideas to GBO, you know, in itself, with like the C tiers, which weren't there, you know, before I moved here. The caddy games that are happening this year. The block party has always been a thing, which has been really cool. But adding all the courses, now I don't even know how many courses we're using for the GBO. I mean,
I believe it's nine.
Nine, right? That's insane. So that's definitely grown since. And this year, our players meeting is actually in a big auditorium. So it used to be at the Granada Theater, which is downtown. But we've outgrown that. So now we have to go into this huge arena where like the Emporia State Hornets play their basketball games.
Wow.
So it's just growing and growing. Mm-hmm.
Now, on a more personal front for you, this is your first NT of the season and your first NT since the last GBO, only your second tournament this year, right? I mean, I'm sure you're playing leagues or, you know, whatever. But I mean, this is only your, will be your second sanctioned tournament of the year, right?
Yes. Unfortunately, okay. That's a true statistic.
So how is your game right now? How are you feeling about it going into the week?
You know, I'm a little, okay, I don't really have too much of a high expectation for a couple reasons. Number one, with my work schedule, I don't know if some of you guys know, but I do work at the Dynamic Discs retail store. And so, whenever I get done with class, I head over to the retail store and we close at 6:00. So with the winter time, it was dark by the time I got off work. So I didn't really have a chance to play. Then once the, you know, daylight savings hit, I've been able to play more and more. However, you know, typically towards the end of the semester, a lot of projects are due. There's a lot of tests, a lot of group work. And so past few weeks, I haven't been able to play as much just because focused on school. And, you know, we have to do some prep work on the courses for GBO. So I've been trying to spend time doing that. So I have been practicing my putting because that, you know, doesn't require too much, a lot of time. In my opinion, I don't think practicing putting for a long period of time is going to be helpful because your arms and basically your legs kind of get tired, so you start learning kind of bad form, I guess. So sure. Really, my putting is usually only about 30 minutes long, so I'm feeling good about my putting. The rest, you know, I haven't been practicing enough, but I've played these courses enough to know them, and honestly, I think if I just throw straight, you know, pretty far distance, I think I'm gonna be fine. So I kind of don't have any super high expectations just because I haven't been in the tournament scene very much.
Right.
But I don't know. I just plan to have fun and hopefully do well.
That's a really nice segue into my next question. You know, the FPO side is playing 3 separate courses this year. So I'm hoping you can give us a little bit of a preview, some intel on some each one. So let's start with the first one. It's Cottonwood Falls, correct? Swope Park at Cottonwood Falls. You know, give me the lowdown on that course and what's your favorite hole or maybe the signature hole there?
Right. Okay. So let's see. The first few holes are pretty wide open and long. So, you know, just kind of getting your pars. They're not really reachable for the FPO. Well, the first two holes, I believe, are birdies. But then the ones after are just kind of wide open, hides or shots. Then 5 to 6 holes are actually pretty wooded, pretty tightly wooded. You can't get off the fairways or else it's definitely going to cost you at least one stroke. And then kind of that last little chunk of the course, maybe a little less than half the course at the end, is again that wide open like park golf. So I think it has a good variety. There are some birdies. You really have to take advantage of those birdies.
Okay.
Because there are some tough holes that are probably gonna, you know, eat your lunch. So you definitely want to take advantage of the birdies when you can. There is, I think the signature hole is the pyramid hole. So it's not that hard of a hole. I think it's only 350 maybe, but it goes around a baseball fence. So it kind of either forces you to throw a hyzer over the baseball fence or an anhyzer around it. But then it's on this, it's the basket is set on top of this gigantic pyramid that sits pretty high off the ground. So you gotta, even laying up is scary. I mean, you have to get your disc to stick on the pyramid if you even want to tap in.
Okay. So. Okay. And then now day 2 is Jones East, correct?
Yes.
I mean, most people who've probably been following the GBO know Jones East, but what's, park golf, a little more open, not necessarily wood. What's your favorite hole at that course?
Ooh, Jones East. That's a good one. I want to say hole 9 because it's really hard.
Okay.
That's the one that Simon Eagle.
Yes.
If it was that easy, I wouldn't mind it, but I can't throw like Simon. No, but it requires a straight shot off the tee pad, which is awesome. So it kind of has the narrow gap that you really got to hit. And then it opens up to kind of, if you get out of the gap, which is, I don't know, about 300, 320 to clear, kind of get past all the trees. Then it's kind of a big hyzer and then another like pitch up and then a 4. So it, I believe it's a par 4, right? Yeah.
So
I like that it requires the tight shot, a big hyzer, and then kind of a, not necessarily a pitch up, but because there are trees a little bit on the left side, like almost like on the edge of the road that you have to avoid because they do kind of, they'll grab your discs and you'll have a pretty long putt. So I don't know. It's just the tee pad requires a lot of concentration, and then your next shots, you just got to play smart. And I like smart golf. You know, if you go for it, you have that chance of going OB on the left side of the road, and that's right. that gets a lot of people. So that's a, if you stay safe during that hole, you'll definitely gain some strokes on the field, I believe.
Okay. And then the women wrap up at Peter Pan, correct?
Yes, sir.
Give us the lowdown on Peter Pan.
Oh, good old Peter Pan. I love Peter Pan. That and East are two of my favorite in town. Peter Pan, again, is a beautiful park golf, except it's a little bit more wooded, just a little bit more technical. Requires anything from straight shots to big distance drives. And it does have plenty of birdie opportunities that really require you to make your putt. So I think putting is very important at Peter Pan, which is also a reason I love it. It's because obviously, you know, a lot of people know that's the hardest part of the game because it's so mental. So I like that a lot. But there's definitely birdies out there and definitely some par fours. So I think it's an awesome variety and it's beautiful. The park is beautiful. And so, yeah.
What do you think the signature hole is over at Peter Pan?
Probably the Monkey Island hole. So there's this, I think there used to be monkeys in it. I think there used to be a zoo there.
Okay.
And this little thing set up. And so it's kind of has this concrete circle around it and it's pretty big. And they have the basket set up in the middle of it. So if you don't land on the island, it's out of bounds and the drop zone's easy. So you're pretty much going to get a four if you go out of bounds, but it's definitely a birdie hole. You definitely want to get it. You just got to throw it on a kind of a long hyzer and you'll be fine.
Very nice. Okay. So now I know you are, obviously you're busy, you're going to school and everything like that, but have you been keeping up with the Open Women's Division and how the tour has been going so far this season?
Of course. It makes me sad to watch the live coverage knowing that I can't be there. But as soon as I see the live footage out, I'm watching it. And I watch the live scoring for both MPO and FPO.
Right,
and all
right.
For the Pro Tour. So I know what's happening.
So what's your take on the current state of the women's division this year? I mean, obviously we know Paige Pierce is Paige Pierce. But I mean, what's your read on the whole division, you know, straight up and down this year?
I don't know. I think with Paige Pierce being Paige Pierce, like you said, it kind of shakes the confidence of all the other players, because if you think about it, you know, all these people are like Paige Pierce, Paige Pierce, Paige Pierce, which is awesome. She's a great athlete and she deserves it. But as someone who's not Paige Pierce, it kind of makes, you know, you're a little more insecure about your game maybe, and maybe a little bit of lack of confidence. I know for me, and I know some other people feel that way. So I think a lot of the mental games might be a little bit shaken from that. But I think like Jennifer Allen's killing it. She's one that's so confident in her game, and you can just see that she carries it on the course with her, and you know she's going to be good because she knows it. So man, she's going to be killing it this year at GBO. I can feel it. It was cool seeing Madison finish on top. I know that she had that injury last year. Now she's coming back and shooting great rounds. Like, what? Maybe. I mean, I feel like breaks really help. I think it can really help someone if they take a break from the game. But, I mean, it's awesome to see her on top. Hokum always doing her thing. So, yeah. And, you know, you really see the same people on top court all the time. And Kat, you know, I'm surprised how Kat's doing, but honestly, Kat's been one of my favorite disc golfers ever. I actually played her first tournament with her ever. I was like 10 or 11 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she had a couple discs with her, and I mean, I think I definitely beat her, but I mean, obviously she kicks my butt now. But I think she's doing good. I just think, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, again, it goes back, you know, how she was on top. And I mean, if you think about it, 2 years ago, she was like Paige this past year, you know.
Yep.
She won everything. I think Paige won maybe, or Kat lost maybe two or three events that whole
right,
year.
Right.
And I think it's maybe the confidence might be shaken a little bit just because of all this Paige Pierce.
Sure, you know, sure. How often do people mix you and Paige Pierce up? Does it happen a lot?
Well, not in person. However,
right.
When I call people, you know, from Dynamic Discs, since I work there, I have to call people and say, hi, this is Paige calling from Dynamic Discs. I feel like maybe every third or fourth phone call, is this Paige Pierce? I'm like, oh, no, it's not. You know, every once in a while, someone will be like, oh, my gosh, is this Paige Bjerkis? And I'll get really excited. But a lot of the times people do think it's me. And it's weird because, you know, she's obviously on tour or at a tournament, you know, and if they were kind of in the loop, they would know, but
sure,
I don't know.
Sure.
But it's happened.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right, I won't ask you to make a prediction in the women's division since you are playing in it, but would you like to make a prediction on who is going to win in the men's division?
Men's division, man. Yeah, let's see. Who's been doing good this year? I don't know. I was working on the courses today. We had to fix the flags at the country club, and there's a little nine-holer across the street from the country club, and I saw Ricky putting. Right when we pulled up into the country club, and then we worked on the flags for, an hour and a half maybe. And when we left, he was still putting. So I'm going to go with Rick. I got to stay true to Rick. I think Rick is going to be up there. I don't know, Sexton, Germ, James Conrad, we saw him out there practicing. He's doing well. I'm going to go with Rick.
Okay. All right. So before I let you go, I want to hit you with the lightning round. I'm just going to ask you some quick questions, and you just give me the first thing that comes to mind. Does that sound good?
Okay, yeah.
All right, cool. So here we go. What's your favorite? I know you kind of said it earlier, but I'm going to put you on the spot. Favorite course in Emporia?
Jones East.
Okay. Most difficult course in Emporia?
Oh, Opie Lake.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I know you haven't been out on tour in a while, but give me some food that you miss from being out on the road, like your favorite spot for food.
Oh, sushi. Las Vegas has real good sushi.
Okay.
And so does, like, California.
Okay. Obviously. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you're coming out to California later this year, right?
Yes, yes, I am. I'm touring this summer, which is awesome.
Awesome. All right. Which sport do you like to either play or watch the most besides disc golf?
Baseball.
Okay. If you had any superpower, it would be?
Reading people's minds.
Oh, scary. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You're going to school to be a teacher, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So let's say you decided not to be a teacher anymore. What would you be?
I mean, does pro disc golfer touring
full time? It can be. Yeah, that works for me.
Yes. The plan is actually once I graduate to tour. I'm just kind of getting the degree as a backup.
Okay. So. How often, this is, I'm taking an aside from the lightning round, but for people who haven't been to Emporia, how often do you go by? Don't they have, like, the National Teachers Hall of Fame there?
Yes, they do. Yes.
Have you had to, like, go there for a field trip or anything?
Oh, yeah. Definitely had to walk through there for some classes. It's actually really cool. A lot of old stuff. And I'm just, it's kind of weird to see the history of it all. And it's cool. I like it. I think there's free tickets for people who are here for the GBO, actually,
okay,
for them
right.
to go visit.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Okay, back to the lightning round. Sorry for my side. One person you would want to have dinner with, dead or alive, doesn't matter.
Oh, my gosh. Christian Bale.
Ooh, good one. All right. Last show that you binge watched?
Last show? The Office.
Okay. You're stuck on a desert island. You can only listen to one album for the rest of your life. What would it be?
License to Ill by the Beastie Boys.
Ooh, good one. I don't think you're even old enough to know that album. Anyway, last one, cats or dogs?
Oh, cats. Kitties are the best.
All right. Well, Paige, thank you for taking some time out to talk to us. Looking forward to getting out in Emporia this week, and good luck out there at the GBO.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I love the PDJ radio. It's awesome. I'm glad they're bringing it back.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. And we'll have to have you back again, I think, especially if you're going to be hitting the road this summer.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, that was Paige Bierkus. We'll be right back in just a minute here on PDJ Radio.
And that was Paige Bierkus. I'm really looking forward to seeing her play. Haven't gotten a chance to play with her in a while or see many of her rounds. So good luck to her this week. And now we will do the picks. Do you want to start with MPO?
Sure. One more thing on Paige, though. I hope that you actually get to see her, because I'm not sure I've ever seen a faster player.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Stepping up to the tee pad and throwing, she's like the Flash.
Yep.
It's pretty wild. All right.
And her long hair makes it look so much cooler, too.
It does. She's got some style out there. It's exciting. All right. Sure. So we've got on the MPO side, I get to pick first on both this week. I don't remember the exact scores, but I know Sarah took it to me last time at Jonesboro. So I need a strong, strong showing this week. And if I need a strong showing, I'm going to go with someone who has had some strong showings in Emporia the last few years. 2015, very young man, broke out onto the scene at the Glassblown Open. Came in sixth place at Worlds in 2016. Came in fourth place last year at the GBO in 2017. If you are still following along at home, that young man is Eagle McMahon. He is averaging 10.52 rated golf over this season. His rating continues to skyrocket. He is smashing it. I'm taking Eagle McMahon as my pick to win the second NT of the season, which would also be his second NT ever after Vegas. So I'm going with Eagle. Who do you got for MPO?
That's a strong pick. I believe I went Ricky last time, and I'm gonna stay with Ricky. I think he's got it in him. I think he's finding his footing for this season, and he's going to bring it home. I don't have fancy stats on him like you do. I was not prepared to talk about that. So,
well,
good job.
If you want, that's okay. If you want to, I'll help you out here. I mean, he did win his first world championship there.
There you go.
So you got that going for you.
Yes. I have bad disc golf event recall. So thank you for that.
Oh, that's okay. you were playing. You weren't watching it that year. You were playing. We'll cut you some slack.
That's true.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm having a really hard time with my top five lock for this event. There's just, the field is stacked. You know, you've got the usual suspects like Macbeth and Lazat and Sexton, but then add into the mix, you have Nate Doss is back this week, as is Val on the women's side, which I am super excited about. You've got Chris Dickerson making the trip, Josh Anthon making the trip. Seppa Paiu is not playing this week, so that's another one in the mix. And then you've got guys like Eric McCabe, Emporia local, world champion, Miles Seaborn coming up from Texas. So, I mean, really just a deep field, really hard to pick. I, though, am going to go with a left-hander. I'm going to go with Devin Owens. Devin Owens just seems to show up at bigger events. He's always one of those under the radar guys for me, but I remember being incredibly impressed with his performance here at Worlds a few years back. So I like him this week as my top five lock, a little bit of a dark horse top five lock, but I'm going with it.
I don't hate it. That was definitely a surprise.
Well, I opened the door for you to take someone in the top five. So who you got?
Gosh. I had someone, and now you're making me rethink it all. Man, oh man.
Head games.
Let's see. I know. I'm going to go Chris Dickerson. As soon as you named him, I was like, man, I should have picked him. So
I don't know. I'm curious how he plays on the golf course style.
But he can bomb.
Yeah, yeah. I doubt that.
I mean, he has actually... last year we both played an event here in Nashville on a golf course and we both won. So I have
humble brag
insider information that he is good playing on golf courses.
All right.
So yeah, I'm going to go Chris Dickerson,
man.
Thanks for making me rethink that.
Paul Macbeth is going to listen to this podcast and probably never talk to us again is what's going to happen.
Well, he was my top five, but I switched it up. It's all your fault.
I left the door open for you there. All right. So, moving over to the FPO side, I'm not going to belabor this. I'm going with Paige Pierce. Who you got?
Well, I knew you were going to do that. So
well,
I'm
obviously.
Just going to go. Yeah, I'm going Kat. She took first place in 2015. She took fourth last year, but I think she's going to, you know, continue strengthening her season up a little bit. And I have faith in her. I think she can do it.
You know what? When I talked to her today, she sounded real good. She said her putting game is feeling real confident. And that's been kind of her bugaboo lately. So if she's putting it well, I think that's a good pick. All right. So top five, I'm going to roll the dice a little bit. And I'm going to go with Val. We haven't seen her at all this year. She didn't end up going the Memorial. But last year, she kind of started off the same way where we hadn't seen her as much. And she still came back and was fantastic. I'm also going with, you know, she won Worlds there too. It was the big surprise that year in 2016 when she ended up winning Worlds. So yep. I'm going with Valerie Jenkins for my top five lock this week. I mean, skills don't lie. I don't think they disintegrate. She's still 962 rated, second highest rated in the women's field.
Yeah. Well, I was looking down the list because I saw some names. So Vanessa Van Dyken, not playing. She's going to wait it out with Seppo and wait for the Masters Cup. So it's sad to see that. But we're also seeing Zoe Andyke, Elaine King, along with Val. And this is their first big event, either NT or Disc Golf Pro Tour event of the year. Right. So I'm really looking forward to seeing them. Oh gosh, this is stressful. But with that said, I'm going to go Sarah Hokum.
Yeah.
I mean, she's having a great season so far. Her putting looks really good, and she's got all the shots in the bag, I think, to just slice and dice these courses and combat this OB. So,
yeah, I think that's a great pick, yeah. Especially when, you know, the women get to play the more wooded technical courses. So I think that's just another strength for her to check off her box. One more thing to mention about the GBO. I did see on Facebook that some players are trying to organize a tribute to Matt Mayo, and everyone's advocating to wear tie-dyed shirts to the players' party the first night, just kind of in a tribute to him. So if you are listening and you're going to be there, get yourself some tie-dye, and I think that'll be a really nice tribute. So before we wrap up the show, we need to get to the hot rounds from the PGA this weekend. So
yes,
let's check that out. Do you want to start on the women's side? Since we just did the women's side and the picks, let's go women's side on the hot rounds. What do you got?
Sure. So the hottest round was over 1,000. It was 1,003. The event was the Remax Open in,
Finland.
Okay. In a town in Finland that I cannot pronounce. and it was Henna Blomroos.
She's a great player. Like, I really, she's another one of those young Finnish women's players, along with her and like Evelina Salonen, that I wish could come over here more often and compete. It would just make the field that much stronger.
Yeah. But that was an A tier. She ended up coming in first place, and she shot that 1,003 on her second round. So congrats to her. That's a feat for any female to shoot over 1,000 is amazing. So big congrats. The second and third hot rounds were both from the 2018 Texas Women's Championship that took place this weekend in Georgetown, Texas. It was a B tier. Sarah Hokum shot a 977 on her second round. She ended up taking second place to Paige Pierce, who took first place, and she shot a 976 on her third round.
So she's still undefeated this year, and I think that's got to be her fifth or sixth Texas Women's Championship in a row.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Good job. Good job, Paige. And
she's
Sarah.
Good.
Yeah, she's pretty good. The third hottest round was the Rumble presented by Discraft in Moline, Illinois. That was an A tier. Jessica Weiss shot a 968 on her third round, and she ended up taking first place. And that was a pretty good field of women as well. There might have been 8 or 10 for an A tier in Illinois. So it sounded pretty good to me.
That's a couple wins in a row for her now, right? Didn't she win the week before as well?
Yeah, she won. Yep. Yeah, she won, I believe it was a B tier the weekend before. But so
it was
Texas
States, right? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 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 So, yep. Looks like she's, I think I mentioned on last week, she said, like, I'm back, you know, things are feeling better on the course and
not
feeling
too late
well
to
like
change.
Myself. So,
not too late to change your picks.
Yeah. Now I'll stick with mine. Thanks.
Okay. All right.
fourth and fifth hottest round was a tie. Or, sorry, the fifth hottest round was a tie between Stephanie Vincent and Ragna Bigda Lewis. Stephanie also played the Texas Women's Championship. She ended up taking third place, and her hot round was 966 rated on her first round. And Ragna, this is a long name. Let's see. Wolfpack Discs Open, MPO, FPO, Intermediate, and Masters, and all women. It's the name of the event in Jackson, Michigan. She took first place. Her first round, she shot a 966 as well. So congratulations to all those women who shot hot rounds.
Very nice. Very nice. Over on the men's side, the hottest round came from the Auburn Open up in Northern California. It was tossed by James Proctor. It was a 1095 rated second round, and he ended up winning. Yeah, that's it's toasty. It's going to keep you warm.
Yeah.
He ended up winning that event. It was a B tier. He took that one from Greg Barsby, who came in second place and also had the second hottest rated round of the weekend. He shot a 1064 rated opening round. So pretty good battle between the two of those NorCal guys there. Third hottest rated round was at the Azalea Open. It was from Barry Schultz. He shot a 1063 rated opening round, ended up taking second place at that B tier. Back to the Auburn Open for the next hottest round. It was from Anthony Regoza. He shot a 1060 rated final round, and that moved him pretty strongly at the leaderboard and into ninth place. So nice job by him to kind of recover from a couple earlier struggles. And the last, or fifth, hottest round is from Nathan Ryan at the Grill Open, which it sounds like you're going to barbecue some stuff, so I'm okay with that. Works with hot rounds.
I hope it did.
Yeah. He shot a 1055 rated opening round. So very nice performances from everyone there. And before we go for the end of our show, we have to talk about This Week in Disc Golf History. I mentioned at the top of the program that the GBO is turning 16, which that's just crazy. I GBO can go get a driver's license now. And 10 years ago was the sixth Glassblown Open. And the reason I'm bringing this one up, I know it's, it just sounds convenient that it was 10 years ago, but that's not why. The GBO used to be in like August and July. It's bounced around a little bit over the years. The sixth Glassblown Open on April 26th, 2008, was the first time it actually moved to April, and it's more or less stuck around there. I think it's maybe bounced into May occasionally, but that was the first time it was in the window of the year that it is now. So it was kind of set the precedent. David Hemmeline and Liz Lopez were the winners. That was an A/B tier. And would you like to guess how many players there were at that one? Remember that there were more than 1,600 this year.
142.
You're a cheater. But yes, that was help myself. How many. That's okay. So you wouldn't like to guess. Yeah, 142 players. So you look at that, and 10 years later, it's multiplied by more than 10. So
I'm sure everyone is pretty thankful that it's moved to April, because when we played Worlds, it was hot as Hades.
It was like pretty nasty.
Yeah, it was.
But
bad,
on the other side, you know, Midwestern weather in April can be a little. They got these things called tornadoes. So
true.
I'm gonna read up on what to do if you're from California and are in a tornado. And in the meantime, we will be back next week. So Sarah, I hope you have a great time checking out the coverage. I'm sure we'll be in touch over the week. And we will be catching up next week. Have a good week, and we'll see you back here next week after the GBO here on PDGA Radio. Before we go, though, I got to mention one thing, obviously. We'd love to hear your feedback as we keep the show going. Radio@PDGA.com. You can subscribe on your favorite podcasting app. Tell a friend. It's Sarah, I heard that if you tell a friend about PDGA Radio, you automatically, like, magically from the disc golf gods get 10 extra rating points on whatever round you're shooting that weekend. Did you hear that?
Oh, I heard that you get an ace.
Ooh,
the wires got crossed somewhere, but
I need
either
to tell
one of those things would be a good benefit.
I need to tell my friends about PDGA Radio.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, on that note, everybody have a great week. We'll see you after the GBO. That was PDGA Radio. We'll see you next time.